Hello and welcome to this episode of Ways to Change the Workplace with myself, Preena Shah. I love what I do. I'm a global leadership coach, a consultant, a trainer, a keynote speaker, a podcaster. I help you to develop your leaders, your teams, and I help you to optimize your organizational cultures. I'm here to help you find ways to change your workplace. Why? Because we spend more time in our waking day at work than we do with our loved ones. It has to be a good place to be. So in this podcast, you can expect a mix of interviews with amazing thought leaders and then some solo episodes from myself as well. Strap yourselves in. Hello, hello, and welcome to this solo episode of the Ways to Change Your Workplace podcast with me, Preena Shah, your host. If you're a brand new listener, welcome. Make sure you subscribe and you are welcome to sign up to my newsletter. Now, today, the episode is all about 5 ways to tell if your workplace has an avoidant culture. And I'm providing you practical solutions. So it's a short one, it's a sharp one, it's a practical one from me. Let's get into it. In any workplace, the culture plays a crucial role in shaping the overall environment and employee satisfaction. We all know that. One type of culture that can be detrimental to productivity and employee well-being is an avoidance culture. So, what is an avoidant culture? Let's talk about that. An avoidance culture is characterized by a tendency to ignore or avoid addressing issues or conflicts or challenges. So, in this episode, we are going to explore 5 key indicators that can help you to identify if your workplace has an avoidance culture. Now, by recognizing these signs, you can take steps to address and improve the culture of your organization. So, signs of an avoidance culture. Sign number 1 is a lack of open communication. Employees hesitate to express their opinions or concerns openly. Important information might be withheld or not shared transparently at your workplace. And feedback is rarely given or received. Now, how on earth does someone work in such an environment? Imagine that if that was, let's say, in another environment, in your family home. Would you have that for your family culture? Is that the way that you'd work for your family culture in terms of lack of open communication? So, if it is a case in your workplace where there's a lack of open communication, where people can't hesitate where people can't express their opinions or concerns openly, where important information is withheld or not shared in a transparent manner, and where feedback is rarely given or received, alarm sign number 1. Alarm sign number 2 of an avoidance culture. Frequent unresolved conflicts. So this is where conflicts are swept under the rug instead of being addressed and resolved. Tension and animosity between team members therefore becomes evident and super prevalent. You feel it. You can cut the tension with a knife in the air, you know. And then because of this, avoiding not addressing conflicts or unresolved conflicts, what tends to happen is that issues resurface repeatedly without being properly resolved. So you might actually feel that you're living in Groundhog Day. And if there's a negative Nelly, let's say in your workplace or in your team, then your ears might feel like, oh man, here we go again with the same old crap. So frequently unresolved conflicts result in poor behavior and people completely checking out and just everything being unresolved, which is really unhealthy. So that's another red alert for you. Frequently unresolved conflicts. Sign number 3 of an avoidant culture is a high employee turnover. People frequently leave the organization without clear reasons. So let's say your exit surveys happen, but you're not getting much data from it. There's something amiss, and you know it. You can feel it. You can sense it, yeah? We know when something's wrong. And another thing that happens with this is that new people who join are hesitant to join or quickly leave after experiencing the workplace culture. So people might hear about you and think, not going to apply, or there may have been offered a job, and then people tend to back out of said job offer. Or it could be the case that your new hires, there's a churn and burn. They're leaving within 6 months, within 1 year, within an early period of time. And you notice that a lack of employee loyalty and commitment is really noticeable. So your red alert sign number 3 was high employee turnover. Is that the case at your workplace? Point number 4. Sign number 4 about an avoidant culture in the workplace. Blame shifting and finger pointing. Hello, scapegoats. This is what we're talking about. So when problems arise, individuals or departments tend to blame others instead of taking responsibility. There's a culture of scapegoating, which is prevalent, and therefore that leads to a lack of accountability. And mistakes are not acknowledged or learned from, but rather just hidden or ignored. And I really want to understand what happens there. So your red alert sign number 4 is blame shifting and finger pointing. It's not my fault, it's their fault, right? Sign number 5, off an avoidant culture. Lack of personal or professional growth opportunities. Now, you might be feeling stagnant and unchallenged in your role. Your training and development opportunities are scarce and really not prioritized. And promotion and advancement opportunities are often based on favoritism rather than fairness. So, a lack of personal and professional growth opportunities should be sign number 5, alert sign for you, in terms of an avoidant culture. I have seen many an organization who don't have a learning culture, who don't invest in their people, and who don't invest in moving the organization forward. And that really impacts your organizational culture in a truly negative way. So, in a workplace with an avoidant culture, it's like a ship with a leaky hull. The ship represents the organization, and the leaky hull symbolizes the issues and challenges that just go unaddressed. Just as the ship's hull allows water to seep in, the avoidance culture allows your problems to persist without resolution. This leads to decreased productivity and innovation, and just a funky feeling. You know when the atmosphere is bad. Similar to how a ship's efficiency is compromised and resources are wasted due to the water leaking in. Do you have water leaking in this respect? In addition, the fear of speaking up or suggesting improvements in an avoidant culture is like having a crew on the ship who are afraid to report the leaks or suggest ways to fix them. People are holding back because they are scared. There's a fear of something, potentially, or they don't give a shit, and your people are completely disengaged. This really stifles creativity and new ideas. Much like how fear in the workplace inhibits employees from sharing their innovative thoughts and suggestions and just truly being involved, you know? Furthermore, a lack of personal and professional growth opportunities in an avoidant culture is akin to having a crew on the ship who feel stagnant and unchallenged in their roles. So just as the crew members become disengaged and less motivated to work on the ship, your employees in an avoidant culture might experience a decreased motivation and engagement, resulting in just low productivity levels and just a sense of, I don't give a shit. So overall, the analogy of a ship with a leaky hull can help illustrate the impact of an avoidant culture in the workplace, where issues and challenges go unaddressed, productivity and innovation suffer, and personal and professional growth opportunities are really hindered or limited. The impact of an avoidant culture are massive and awful. Decreased productivity and innovation that I've already talked to, which leads to issues and challenges not being addressed, and therefore inefficiencies and really wasted resources. Creativity and new ideas are stifled due to fear of speaking up or even suggesting basic improvements. And your employee motivation and engagement suffers. We all know this. I'm not going to labour that point. The other point I really do want to labour is that there is a negative impact on the mental health and well-being of your people if you have an avoidant culture. Constant avoidance of conflicts and issues creates a toxic work environment. Employees experience increased stress, anxiety, and burnout, and we have all seen this far too often. A lack of support and resolution can lead to feelings of frustration and helplessness. And when someone feels helpless at work, it is one of the most awful things one can experience. The worst thing that's going to happen to you, forget it. If you're not thinking about your employees, then think about your own organizational reputation and your brand. There's going to be damage to your organizational reputation. An avoidance culture can lead to negative perception of your organization, obviously by your employees, and then by your clients and your stakeholders. And it goes further to your customers and the board, shareholders, whatever. Word of mouth spreads, making it difficult to attract and retain top people. Now, I have a crude saying, shit sticks, and it's really, really difficult to wash off once you've got that bad reputation. So your organization's brand and reputation might suffer, impacting on your long-term success. So let's flip it now. How can we overcome an avoidant culture? And I've helped many an organization to do this. You need to firstly foster open and transparent communication, and that's going to take time. Encourage employees to share their thoughts, concerns, and ideas openly. I have loads of ideas, and there's so many quick wins and easy things that you can do, such as implementing regular feedback mechanisms and channel for communication. Now, one of the things you need to start with is your leaders. I have an amazing one-to-one meeting planner which really enables conversations in a two-way format. If you want that, check out the show notes, get my details, and drop me an email, and I will share that with you. Your leaders have to lead by example and create a safe space for open dialogue. Another thing you need to do is to address conflicts promptly and constructively. Grow some balls. Lead with a head, heart, and a backbone is what I talk about here. So provide conflict resolution training and resources for employees and managers. Mediate. Do what you need to. Encourage open discussions to understand different perspectives and find common ground. If you haven't listened to the episode on how to create a post-mortem after projects or to learn from people, then please check it out. What I'll also do is I'll link to that episode in my show notes, so please check that out. It's a real practical way to really hear from your people and for people to get to open up, and so that you can get different perspectives and find common ground. Now, when we come to actually finally addressing conflicts, it's really important to implement a fair and transparent conflict resolution process. So ensure that there's social justice happening there. Prioritizing employee development growth is essential for any organization willing to invest in their people. So consider what the kind of skills are that your people need to be upskilled on. Soft skills are really hard skills. Clearly, if you have an avoidant culture, there's a lot that needs to be developed. So creating opportunities for career advancement, progression based on merit, recognizing and rewarding employees' achievements and contributions all play a part in this. But really try to understand, if you're trying to shift your culture from an avoidant culture, and let's say that your desired culture is a humanistic, encouraging one, or, you know, something positive. We all want to go to a positive culture, don't we? Once you've defined your desired culture or your aspirational culture, look at the behaviors and the expectations required to get you there, and develop a learning catalog or develop your people in those things that are missing at the moment. It's not brain science. You really can do it. If you want to have a call with me, then drop me a message and we really can chat about some excellent ideas. And then, to promote a culture of accountability and learning, it's really important to encourage individuals and teams to take ownership of their own actions and decisions. One of the things that happens when there's an avoidant culture is there's a codependency on the people who do make decisions. Now, those decision makers may well be brilliant, or they might be really, really power-hungry people. And it really limits and it creates a learned helplessness of your people. So you need to break that learned helplessness and encourage your individuals and teams to take ownership of their actions and decisions. And then, when shit hits the fan, foster a blame-free environment where mistakes are seen as opportunities for learning and growth. It's really important to break the blame culture. So implement systems to capture and share lessons learned from past experiences. That's all it is when things go wrong. So overcoming an avoidance culture it's doable. Encourage accountability. Promote a culture where individuals and teams take ownership of their actions and decisions. Encourage everyone to be responsible for their work and outcomes that they produce. Foster a blame-free environment. Create a culture where mistakes are seen as opportunities for growth. Encourage open and honest communication and ensure that individuals feel comfortable sharing their mistakes without fear of blame or punishment. Capture and share the lessons learned. Implement systems to capture and share lessons learned from past experiences. Encourage individuals and teams to reflect on their work, identify areas for improvement, and share their insights with others. Prioritize open communication. Foster an environment where open communication is valued. Encourage employees to express their thoughts, concerns, and ideas freely. Create channels for feedback and ensure that everyone has a voice in the decision-making process. It might not be practical all the time, but when it is, please involve your people. Address your conflicts proactively. Deal with it. Deal with conflicts in a timely and proactive manner. Encourage individuals to address conflicts directly and constructively. Perhaps upskill them and provide support and resources to help them resolve issues themselves. Now, that is an avoidant culture. If you are living in an avoidant culture, please, please share this episode with whoever needs to listen to it. And if you have any questions for me or if you need to talk, get in touch. I am here from you. I'm all about finding good ways to change your workplace. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Sign up to my newsletter, which is detailed in the show notes, if you stand against crappy cultures, lousy leaders, and toxic teams. And I'll see you in the next episode.